I'm going to share, and my title is Bits and Pieces of My Life, the Last Year and a Half, and the Journey That God's Taken Me Through. And you're going to have to excuse me if I cry, because I just come like that. I come with tears, lots of laughs, but I come with tears too. What do people need to hear? God knows everything about you. He knows your brokenness, your fears, your weaknesses, your insecurities. He knows everything, and he loves you dearly. I want something from the heart, from God's heart to your heart today. And first of all, I want to say that a year and a half of being in and out of the church and away from the church and the last 7 months before Leah passed away, God took great care of me. He just loved on me. He held me. I was still. I didn't have to perform. I didn't have to read the word lots, pray a lot. God didn't have all these requirements on me. He just held me and he said, just be still, Mo. Just be still. And he just loved on me. He was gentle and loving, and he encouraged me continually and strengthened me. Through scriptures, through people sending scriptures, through notes, through all kinds of loving ways that God just encouraged me and gave me his life. And it was different for me, being away and not being part of a body, sometimes just being in a quiet place by myself, because Ryan was often with Leah. You know, I'm a people person, and if you haven't known me by now, I like to talk, and I like to talk with people. But I was often in that silent place where God was doing things inside of me. But he just showed me continually how much he loved me, how much he cared, not just about Leah, but about me and what I was going through. And I felt his tender, tender love and embrace the whole time. In fact, I think I'm one of his favorites. And I hope you feel like one of his favorites, because the truth is, every one of us are his favorites. Chris, you're his favorite Chris, his favorite Matt. I'm his favorite Mo. Every one of you are his favorites and special to him. The Bible says in Psalm 139, 17, precious, precious are his thoughts towards me. It says, how precious are his thoughts towards me, O God. How great is the sum of them. Him thinking of me, of you, he's thinking of me all the time. If I count them, they are more in number than the sand when I wake up. I'm still in your thoughts. What an incredible thing that is. God's thoughts towards me are constant and always towards me. We think sometimes that when we're sin, if we're full of sin, or we have a bad attitude, or we're arguing, or we're angry, or, you know, we're in some kind of addiction or something, that God doesn't love me. His thoughts aren't towards me. But that's wrong. This is the scripture that says his thoughts are always, always, always towards you. In fact, there's so many that he can't even count them. They're more than the sand by the ocean. That's how his thoughts are towards me. And when I wake up in the morning, as soon as I wake up, his thoughts are towards me. All during the night, his thoughts were towards me. He's always, always looking out for my best. in 1 Samuel 26:21. And this is just an amazing scripture. It says, it talks about how King Saul was actually convicted and repented because of God's precious thoughts toward him through David. 1 Samuel 26:21, it says, "Then Saul said, 'I have sinned. David, come home. I won't do you any harm anymore.'" Because he was stalking David and running after him to kill him. You know, he hated him. He was jealous. He had so much sin and stuff in his heart. He wanted to kill David. But God, through David, showed kindness over and over and over again. He was relentless in his pursuit to love King Saul unconditionally. And you know what? You can't do that without God's love. David loved him, a man who was after him, who hurled insults towards him, if he would have had him there, he would have taken his life. But he said to him, out of great conviction, he said, "My son David, because my soul was precious in your eyes, I have played a fool and have been wrong." And the Bible says in the King James Version, it says, "erred exceedingly." That's what convicted Saul. The goodness of God leads to repentance. In fact, at one point, David had Saul. He even had his arrow or his spear, and he could have killed him. But he said, "I will not touch the Lord's anointed." He could have done it, but he had a thing inside of him which was God's heart and God's thoughts towards him. He said, "I have played a fool and have been wrong. The kindness and gentleness, the forgiveness, the pursuit to bless, even though people might be unkind and wrong, is God's heart. God always returns good for evil, blessing for insult. That is God's heart and God's way." I want to read this, Isaiah 43:1-11. "But now, says the Lord, who created you, O Jacob, and who formed you, O Israel, fear not, I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine." You're mine. "When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned. Nor shall the flame scorch you, for I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I gave Egypt for your ransom, Ethiopia and Seba in your place, since you were precious in my sight." Since you were precious in my sight, "you have been honored, and I have loved you. Therefore, I will give men for you and people for your life. Fear not, for I am with you. I will bring your descendants from the east and gather you from the west. I will say to the north, 'Give them up,' and to the south, 'Do not keep them back.' Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth, everyone who is called by my name, whom I have created for my glory." And I just want to say with that, there's people you're praying for, families that you're praying for, that, you know, the Bible says we will be saved and our household. I believe this is talking about that. You're going to call them from the north, south, east, west, wherever they are, whatever their sin is, and you're going to call them to serve God, and they are going to serve God. Because God's heart is precious towards them. He loves them with an everlasting love. It says, everyone who is called by my name, whom I have created for my glory, I have formed him, yes, I have made him. Bring out the blind people who have eyes, and the deaf who have ears, that all the nations be gathered together, and let the people be assembled. Who among them can declare this and show us former things? Let them bring out their witnesses, that they may be justified, or let them hear and say, it is truth. You are my witnesses, says the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me, there was no God. There is no God. Or me, there was no God formed, nor shall there be after me. I, even I, am the Lord, and besides me, there is no Savior. I could go on and on there because it's just such a good text. But I just want to share some things on that. It's a powerful, powerful scripture about God calling us and us being called to be his precious ones, and that his eyes are always towards us. His thoughts are always towards us. And I want to tell you, in this past year and a half, not for a minute were we ever out of God's hands. Not for a millisecond. Ryan and Leah and the family and all of us were not for a minute out of God's hands. Our lives were and are safely hid in Christ in God. I was going to try and get three guys up here and try and illustrate that, like get one smaller guy and then another guy sort of, covering him, and then a bigger guy covering him and somebody trying to come out and snatch him away. But that's how it is. It's like our life is hid. This is our life hid with Christ in God. You can't. The enemy can't snatch you away. If your life is hid with Christ in God, I'll tell you something. If you think that you can just easily be snatched out of his hand, then I believe that we're giving more power to the enemy than he deserves. The Bible says nothing, no one, no evil, no Satan or any demonic force can separate us from the love that is in Christ Jesus. He is far above every principality and power and wickedness in high places. That's where Jesus is. And our life is hid with Christ in God in that place with Jesus. When it says far above, it means far above. Do you know what that means? Far above. It doesn't mean God's here and his equal is Satan. God has no equal. Because the enemy couldn't even be even half as, or all as bad as God, half as much as God is. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, God is so great and so infinite and so powerful and so loving and so gracious and merciful that he's way, way above. You know, Satan's doing his thing and he's bad, but he's way down here. And I want to tell you, family, don't make him big. He's a grasshopper compared to God. You know, we got to start making God large in our eyes and not small. Not be like the spies that went out to Israel to see, and they weren't, oh my goodness, it's so big. Their giants are big and everything is big. It would be like me going in where, you know, there's a room full of Chris and Matt and all the tall guys, and I'm like this kind of thing. They're so big. But you know what? Joshua and Caleb went in and they said, wow, we can take this place. You know, and Starla had a vision this morning in the prayer room. Even of me, what was that, the story? Prince Caspian from Narnia. And you know what? That's what we're like. We might be small, either in stature or we feel like we're small, but we have this huge God, this huge lion that roars, that's behind us, that's watching over us. He gives his angels charge over us. And every day and every moment, there was an angel hovering over Leah, watching over her, keeping charge over her. There was angels with their swords drawn, you know, ready to do battle for her sake, for the will of God to be done. He is far above every principality and power and wickedness in high places. Nothing compares to the greatness of God, the greatness of his kindness, of his goodness, of just how big he is. 1 Samuel 2:2, or 2:2, it says, besides him, there is no God. None like him. There is none like him. There's not nothing that compare to God. There's been lots of superstars and prophets and what's the guy from India, the well-known that we saw? Yeah, Gandhi and different ones. You know, great men, and there's all through the ages, there's been great men and women of God, but none of them compare to our God. They are just great men and women, but no one compares to our God. No one is holy like the Lord. No rock like our rock. Capital R, capital O, capital C, capital K. The reason why I could go through a year and a half is because I was holding on to the rock. My Savior, my God, I didn't fear. Almost every time I got into the car would be that song that I am not a slave to fear. I'm no longer a slave to fear. Every single day. And even though Leah died, I'm still not a slave to fear, because Jesus conquered the death, conquered the grave. He's conquered death. And we have the resurrection in Christ. I mean, today, the communion table meant more than it ever has because of that, because of what Jesus did. I'm going to see her again. You know, she's in heaven rejoicing, and she's waiting for us because of communion, because of Jesus dying on the cross. We have a hope that is way beyond this life. And you know, the truth is, we're all terminal. Every one of us are terminal. And you better prepare in this life for the hereafter. This is a small little part compared to our eternity. You know, people have come and said, well, she shouldn't have died, she shouldn't have, whatever. God's will be done. We're all terminal. And I've got news, we're all going to die. It's just like the Titanic. Somebody said when we went to watch it, right at the beginning, they go, I got news for you, it's going down. But it's the truth. We're all going to die, and we don't know when. We think that we have forever. We think that we have 80 years, 60 years. I'm sure Leah thought of that, but she had 30 years, and she spent her years well for the glory of God. Don't spend your time so much on this life. Make sure that you are storing up in this life for the life to come. People, more than ever before, we are in a day and age when we need sound doctrine. Ruth said to me one day when we were hanging out just after the funeral, she said, Mom, I'm so thankful for sound doctrine. Because in a time of difficulty and stress and anxiety, we know who our God is. We know where Leah is. We have a hope. And the Bible says we don't sorrow as those with no hope. We have a hope beyond this grave, beyond this life. We need to make sure that our beliefs, our philosophy, and thinking will strengthen us, will keep us focused, will give us hope, will give us security and a strong foundation. But if you don't have good doctrine, sound doctrine, and I'm not talking about something religious, because I've heard people say, oh, I don't care about doctrine, it's all going to wash out in the end, it's all going to pan out. Sound doctrine means biblical truth. It means living by biblical truth. If you want to know about something, it's in the Word of God. If you want to know about parenting, it's in the Word of God. If you want to know how to be a wife, it's in the Word of God. How to be a husband, how to function in relationships, it's in the Word of God. How to be a teacher, how to be a friend. If you want counseling in certain areas, the Bible, and one of the names of Jesus is Counselor. You know, people, we so often want to go to everybody else, but we need to get into the Word. Not go and hear what everybody else says, and even what the latest Christian says, and what the latest fad says, because more people can quote Christian books and Christian authors, and you know what? They don't bear any of their own fruit. All the fruit they have in their life is somebody else's fruit. Well, people, I'm telling you, we need to start making our own fruit. We need to start bearing our own fruit. Our doctrine is important. It's vital to your life. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. And I'll tell you something, people, a lot of people, and I'm talking about Christians, are speaking ungodly truths. Untruths. They're not speaking the truth. People have even said, and I won't say who, but people have even said, I'm so mad that Satan took your daughter. Now, that really encourages me. That really gives me hope. Who would believe such a thing? And I would never, ever give Satan that much credit. Like, it's not. It doesn't belong to him. Life and death belong to Jesus Christ. He's the giver and the taker of life. It says, he gives and takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Believing that anyone besides God has the power of life and death in his hands, he gives and takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I will not give the enemy that kind of attention. He would love you to think he's more powerful than he is. Yes, he does go around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. But if we're strong and vigilant, he can't devour us. We belong to God. Quit making him so big and make God big and God great. When he goes around and seeking whom he may devour, I think sometimes what he's looking for, and even in Christians, in the church, he's going around and he's looking, there's a little offense. There's some unforgiveness. There's some pride. I could maybe put a wedge in there. And that's how he devours. Because he just gets a little wedge in and worms his way in and brings disunity and disharmony, and you make mountain out of a molehill, and then the enemy starts coming in, and you think everybody hates you, nobody loves you, people are looking at you sideways, somebody didn't say something right to you when you came in this morning, or they thought something. Get over yourself. Seriously. People, we need to grow up in Jesus. We need to grow up and not be so easily offended. By now, the Bible says we should be eating meat, not still drinking the bottle. It looked pretty funny if Chris came up here drinking a bottle, wouldn't it? But we need, that's what we're like sometimes. I see older Christians, and sometimes it's the young ones that come and they have a word for us. And they're precious, and they're so right. You know, one of the things, and this is off the subject, but sort of on. This week when I went to the school, the teacher's aide, that is Oliver's aide, is just such a godsend to Ryan and to our family. And she took me out to the hallway and she showed me that this week all the kids were doing pictures of their family. So she did the first circle and Oliver drew Daddy and put his face on it and, you know, the stick man and everything. And then she drew another circle and she said, "Who is this?" And she said, "This is Mummy, and Mummy has pretty hair." And you'll have to know that Mummy didn't have hair for the longest time. But to Oliver, Mummy had pretty hair. That's just such a God perspective to me. Like, you know, beauty is in the eyes of the beholder. And even Lincoln, when we show pictures of Lincoln of Mummy with long hair, he doesn't hardly recognize her. He just saw her with short hair. And he loved her short hair, sometimes no hair, and he would rub it and kiss it. He just thought it was great. You know, and so it's a beautiful thing that we see sometimes as children see. No, I don't understand why. And on this side of heaven, I might never know the why of Leah. But you know what? I trust in a big, big God that already I can see the purposes of God. This city has never been so ripe to the gospel. Everywhere I go, I'm sharing Leah's story and what she did. And I'm sharing the God part as bold as I can. I'm just thinking, I'm not wasting any more time. You know, we need to speak the truth. And because the city got involved in this, you know, and the city is grieving, we need to share of the hope. We need to share of the hope that Leah had. That's why I went on Facebook and shared some of what I shared, because I want them to have hope. I want them to see that there's a God who's real. And Leah might have passed from this earth, but she is in the presence of God. A great hope. God didn't drop the ball. He answered the thousands of prayers that were prayed for his will to be done. And even though, like Jesus praying in the garden, I prayed, "Oh God, if there's some way for you to take this cup of suffering from me, please take it." I prayed that 2 days before Leah passed away. But I said, like Jesus said, "But nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Your will, your way, your purpose." God's purpose is so much bigger than what we see. He sees the big picture. He sees the outcome. In this world, the Bible says, you will have tribulation, you'll have suffering, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. And it also says that when we suffer things, when we go through things as Christians, then we can comfort other people. We can give hope to other people. We can come alongside and counsel and love on them. Shauna Desa, that's lost her little five-year-old, we've gotten together many times, and I tell you, we cling to one another, and we share about God and our hope of, you know, seeing them after this life, and we can comfort one another because we've gone through the same thing, you know? And I want to just say this, and I know Ryan probably doesn't want me saying anything, but I'm going to say it anyway, Ryan. I should have asked for your permission first. But Ryan actually is going to be going to Vancouver because they met a man, Pardeep, who also has leukemia, that Ryan and Leah reached out to when they were down there and just loved on him, brought him food. You know, he came into the hospital with nothing. Leah sent me out to get all personal belongings and stuff. Ryan is flying down there just to meet with him, to love on him. A non-believer who needs Jesus. To me, that's an incredible thing. It's an open door. Pray for that. Pray for him. That God would be able to bring salvation to that man. We have had doors open everywhere. And we need to use this for the glory of God. To me, it's the redemption in this. It's not for nothing. It gives hope that we can bring hope to other people. Colossians 1:16, it says, "For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things, and in him all things hold together." In other words, through him all things consist. He's the glue that makes it all worthwhile. He's the glue that's going to make sense of this whole situation. God is going to make sense of this whole thing. And he already has. I could tell you a million stories, honestly, of what's happened in Vancouver and the people down there and their hearts being opened. Everywhere we go, I tell you, there's an open door because of the gospel, because of what Leah suffered for the sake of the gospel. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and firstborn from among the dead, so that in all things he might have the preeminence. Do you know what that means? It means the superiority over and above the excellence. Him alone. He is the excellent one. He is preeminence. He's above it all, and he holds it all together. We don't have to worry when there's sickness, when there's pain, when there's death, when there's horrific things, because God will have the preeminence. And if we look to him and we focus on him, he will bring it all together. He will work all things out for our benefit. And during this last year and a half, I kept asking God, praying for Leah, but saying, "God, what do you want to speak to me? God, I want to be tender. I want to hear what you're saying. This is for my benefit. So what are you saying to me?" You know, journaling the thoughts of God, journaling, just, you know, he had me be away and be still. And I want to tell you, I have more energy now. I have more zeal. I feel the anointing of the Holy Spirit. I feel immersed in God like I never have before. I feel like I've been rebooted, restarted, a new spark plugs or whatever it is. And, you know, I know that, you know, to some people I should be in deep grief. And believe me, I have my days and my moments where there's deep grief. But I have the life of Jesus in me. I have that same resurrected Jesus that's in me, and the same Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead in me. And I am full of power by the Spirit of the Lord. Let the weak say they are strong. Let the poor say they are rich because of Jesus Christ. This is God's church. People, it's God's church. He's the head. We've had this banner up for a long time. No agenda but Jesus. And you know, sometimes you might look at it and after a while you won't even see it anymore. But we should remind ourselves over and over and over again. Sometimes we can look at it and we'll point our fingers to the leaders and say, "Leaders, no agenda but Jesus. Leaders, no agenda but Jesus." But what about in your life? What about in my life? What about in my attitude? What about in my submission to God? What about in my humbleness? No agenda but Jesus? Let's make it personal. Let's make it for the whole church. No agenda but Jesus in my life. I'll tell you, if we get a hold of that, of how Jesus builds his church, his way, his heart, his character, it will be a beautiful thing. The church will be a beautiful thing without spot or wrinkle when we submit to Jesus building the church. God needs every one of us, every joint supplying, every person gives, little or big, whatever their capacity is. And we don't compare ourselves with each other. Did you hear me? I'm going to say that again. Don't compare yourselves with each other. The Bible says it's not wise. It actually means it's foolish. Don't compare yourself with others. Even other leaders. When you preach, you're not going to preach like Mike. You're not going to preach like Tim. You're not going to preach like Matt. You're not going to preach like me. You know, I've finally got a peace in that because I love Gwen Mertonen when she preaches. And I thought, oh, man, I wish I could preach like that. Man, I wish I could preach like Judith or I could, you know, share like them. But you know what? I'm kind of comfortable in my moleskin now. And maybe that's what God's been teaching me the last year and a half. Just be you. Don't wear anybody else's armor. Wear your armor. And be the best version of you that God has made. Be teachable. Be flexible. You are never too young or too old to learn. Can I say that? You're never too young or too old to learn. One of my favorite mentors in my life was Steve Nemeth. He was 60-some years old probably when I first met him, maybe 50s. But he would be in the prayer room. He was just an intercessor. And I remember him being in the prayer room on his knees, and he'd be praying, God, keep me green and growing. God, keep me green and growing. And I thought, I want to be like that until I take my last breath. I want to be teachable. I want to be flexible. And I want to say, you know what? The church is going to change. New people are coming up. New people are going to be in leadership. New people in eldership. It's not going to look the same. Let's be flexible. Let's be open. And you know what? It's not all new and no old. It's both. I remember once when this surfer from Australia, Dave Arnold, told us, he brought his, I always remember sermons when they have these great illustrations in them, but he brought his surfboard up and he said, I want to talk to you about, you know, waves and new waves of God, and there's always a new wave coming in, and God always does bring new things in, and what is God saying today, and God's always doing that. But he said, I want to tell you something. It's not just the new wave that is good. He said the very best wave is when the old wave comes and mixes with the new. He said that's the wave you want to get as a surfer. And can I say to the young people and young couples, there's room for everybody in the body. For the old, the young, the children, the single, the widowed, the divorced, there's room for everyone. Everybody has something to give and has something to supply to the body. Let's receive it with gladness. Let's enjoy one another's gifts in each other. And keep being teachable. You know, Leah taught me a lot in the last year and a half. There's sometimes even maybe that I didn't agree with certain things, but I would just be silent. And you know what? Often she was right. And she's made a difference in my life. Like, I'm going through my house purging like I never have before. Because Leah was a purger. And she'd be often throwing things out. Sometimes the next week she would need them, but you know, we joke about it. But she didn't hold on to things. And she even taught me with people. She said, people don't belong to you. If people leave, don't hold on to them. Sometimes we minister to people for a season, and then God takes them, and they have other places and other people to minister to them. They don't belong to us. They're God's workmanship. And you know, we've had words over this place that there will be times it would be like a hospital. People would come in, but then they would also go out. So we need to release people. We need to let go when it's time to let go. Let's not be a hard lump of clay, but let's let the oil and wine of God's Holy Spirit soften us up. You're not beyond reaching. You think, and I really felt strong on this point in my message, I don't know who it's for or whatever, but you thought, I can never do it. I can never get into this relationship with God. I want to, but if people only knew, if God only knew the things that I've done. But I want to tell you, by the Spirit of God, there is nothing that you can do that can separate you from the love of Jesus Christ. And His thoughts are precious towards you. And maybe today, maybe this morning, He's calling your name, your number, and He's saying, it's time to give all. You've given bits and pieces of the puzzle of your life. And the reason why He can't work the whole thing out is because you've kept a whole lot back for yourself. But maybe today, it's time to give Him the whole puzzle so He can work it out beautiful, and He can weave it into the beautiful tapestry that it's meant to be. You think He can't do anything with you, but have you asked Him? Have you asked Him to soften your heart? Have you asked Him, God, I can't forgive this person. Can you help me? Because you know what? Sometimes you have to forgive 70 times 7 in one day. That's what the Bible says. Sometimes there's things that, you know, you forgive and you go and make right, then you have to do it again and again and again and again. But we need to make it a pattern so that it's going to come automatic to forgive and to release forgiveness. God is relentless at pursuing you, and He won't stop. He's relentless at pursuing you. You can stay at your home, you can shut the doors, you can shut the curtains, you can turn off the phone, not answer your cell phone, go off Facebook, leave a note on the door that says you're sleeping. But God is relentless. The Holy Spirit is relentless to have your heart. He wants your heart, and He wants all of it. Not a piece of it. He wants all of it. And I'm pretty sure He would be delighted if you surrendered. Give up. You know what? It's way harder fighting than it is just to surrender. It takes a lot of energy. It takes a lot of emotion and fight that God never, ever intended for you to have. The Bible says His yoke is easy and His burden is light. If you're not carrying a light burden, if you've had this yoke around your neck and you feel the heaviness and you feel distraught and gloomy, and it's just like a cloud that follows you, it's because the enemy is trying to have a heyday with you, and you need today choose who you're going to serve. Today, don't walk out of this place and think about it for a week, or maybe tonight when I go to bed, or maybe later. Today, now is the time to choose who you're going to serve. You might not have tomorrow. You don't know what tomorrow brings. God says that He promises plans for good and not evil to give us a future and a hope. I just feel like I need to stop there. I had lots of other things that I wanted to share on community, because we weren't part of a community and how important it is. But I just felt like God wants me just to stop there today. That we need to just be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. If this is the day you need to choose to give your whole heart, don't go out of here the same way. Let's leave the burden. Let's leave it at the feet of Jesus.
Thank you for listening to the message today. We hope you enjoyed it. Feel free to share this message with others, but please do not alter or change it in any way without express written consent from the Rock Christian Community.